The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
This is The Hard Shoulder, Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock. Now, it is 5 years to the day since the tragic scenes at Grenfell Tower in North Kensington in London, where a high-rise fire broke out in the 24-storey block of flats. The fire ultimately claimed the lives of 72 people and left a lasting impact on the community. I'm joined now on the show by Grenfell Tower survivor Tiago Alves. Tiago, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us. If it's not too difficult, could you take us back 5 years ago and describe your experience of that day?
Sure. So that night, I went to go meet some family members who were visiting from South Africa. We went to dinner at a restaurant, both myself, my sister, my parents and the family. And as most Portuguese dinners go, we ended up coming back to my parents' house where we went to have a coffee until late. My sister at the time went to bed and I stayed awake whilst my parents went to go take our family back to their hotel. And when my parents were arriving again, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. They were in the lift where someone got off for the fourth floor, where they then saw smoke in the lobby, to which my dad sent my mum downstairs. Whilst my dad ran up the stairs to go wake my sister up and get both of us out of there. At this point, it was very early on in the process of the fire. So the fire still was inside the original flat. And then once we got downstairs, we saw the fire develop from something quite small to the towering inferno that became.
Oh, and so initially when you were getting out and you thought the fire was still contained, I mean, Did you kind of think, listen, this is all perfectly safe, we're just going to follow the drill, as it were, and this should be all right? Or I mean, how worried were you initially, and at what point did you become terrified?
So initially, obviously, we didn't really understand what was going on. We hadn't heard anything. There was no fire alarms. We couldn't see anything being wrong. But my dad has had experience with forest fires in Portugal, and one of the first things that he's learned with the forest fires is, as best as you can, try and stay below where the line of fire is. From that experience, he always knew to stick inside below the fire as often as you can. You know, it was his quick thinking managed to just get us out. The most terrifying moment was when you started to see the fire climb and climb, and then at one point reached the top, and at that point we realized really how bad it was going to be.
But that was when you realized not everyone's going to get out of here alive.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, you know, at the time my dad was also in contact with one of the families who was living up on the 21st floor. And obviously, at the time, we hear what was going on up there on the 21st floor. Fortunately, they all managed to get out all right, but they lost their unborn baby, which one of the 72. We were beginning to realize how bad it was from the inside. They were talking about smoke in the lobbies, where you couldn't see your hand right in front of your face. It was something that was quite terrifying to be on the listening to. For them, it must have been a lot worse, where they were actually living through and fearing for their lives.
Yvette Williams is with us as well, as a Justice for Grenfell campaigner. Yvette, where are we at the moment in terms of inquiries and trying to understand what exactly happened that night?
The inquiry's been running for over 4 years. It has tried to tackle some of the issues, but many of the root causes are still not being addressed. And that is, you know, what the people look like. So race, class, disability has just basically been touched on. And I don't think if they don't address those underlying issues around kind of basic human needs, that they will get over or get to any sense of justice. If you look at the way that the building industry played the system, with just careless choices, it's all around people. People matter. It wasn't about the building. It was about the people. And they are not addressing that. We also have to question what public inquiries really do at this current time. There is a criminal investigation happening that has been put back and will not report until after the public inquiry. But actually, history of public inquiries tell us it's almost government marking its own homework. No inquiry really finds against the government of the day itself. It's the government of the day that chooses whether you get an inquiry or not. They choose the judge to appoint, and at the end of it, there is no legal requirement for the government to follow any recommendations or findings that that inquiry gives them. And we have seen that with phase one.
So what needs to happen?
I think justice should be done with parity and equity. So actually, all of those involved who have been criminally investigated, there's no reason why they could not have been arrested as the inquiry, as the criminal investigation run concurrent to the public inquiry. So that's one thing. The other thing is always go to the root cause. The inquiry chose to start with what happened on the night of the fire. Was actually they should have done it in chronological order, so that what had happened in the lead up to the fire, where, you know, the residents had been bullied and stigmatized, where they weren't listened to, where they were treated in a particular way, where the local authority uses austerity, a government kind of mantra, to say they need to cut costs when they were sitting down on £274 million in their reserves. So you have to go back to the root causes. That's what the inquiry needs to address. Arrests should be made along the way so that people can see that there will clearly be prosecutions on the end.
And Tiago, I'm sure you and your families and all your neighbours from Grenfell would want exactly that. You want clarity and you want justice. But I suppose even were you to get that, I mean, an experience like that, it's going to follow you around the rest of your life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something that I've had to deal with myself, and most proven survivors continue to deal with until this very day. You know, I'm happy to talk about my own mental health, where I've, you know, I was diagnosed with post-traumatic anxiety, post-traumatic depression, and it was only through, you know, many hours of trying to get better, through talking to psychologists, through talking to counsellors. And I would say I'm in a much better place right now, but that doesn't stop me from wanting to continue this fight for justice. And I guess it's also a way of saying to anyone else who's out there who's also suffering through their own traumas that it's okay to get help. And, you know, mental health is not something necessarily that there's never going to be a cure for mental health. It's always going to be a process of healing. And again, as you said, it's going to stick with me for the rest of my life, but it's something that I can use, I hope, to inspire others to get the help that they need, as well as, you know, pursuing our fight for justice.
Tiago Alves, Grenfell Tower survivor, and Yvette Williams, MBE Justice for Grenfell campaigner. Thank you both very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.